Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Clap on three. One, two, three.
Great.
Okay, lip gloss on three.
Where's my lip gloss?
Oh, we better find it.
Oh my God. Lip gloss on three and I'm not ready.
Okay, ready? Lip gloss on three. One, two, three. A little double do ya.
Ooh, suddenly I look vibrant.
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. If you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with us. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your In the Mood for Snow popcorn addict. I'm ready to take this week by storm, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your sleep-needing, oat yogurt-eating, in a fight with my health insurance because they're acting like they don't cover me, friend.
Ugh. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the mysterious disappearance of Agatha Christie.
Ooh.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. So I love a mystery. I love spooky. Yeah. And a lot of people know, but I didn't, that the author, Agatha Christie, went missing for 11 days when she was in her mid-30s. And most people believe that she never spoke about where she went and that to this day it's still a mystery what happened to her during those 11 days. And then when she came back, everything was normal and she just carried on. So we're going to talk about that.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, I love a mystery.
You know what? I have been planning my own disappearance for a while now. Ooh. So I will take acute notes when you talk about Agatha Christie. And there you go.
Amazing. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I'm talking about 14 everyday things that you eat and drink that can also kill you.
And that's...
You're dead.
You're dead. And that's like not including people who eat, you know, nails or chew glass to impress their buddies.
Drywall or other like weird things that signals to your body that you need some help. Yeah. So anyway, can we move on to the biggest news of the weekend?
Yes, please. What's going on?
Sex and the City has come back.
Okay. But it's coming back without the majority of the sex, which is Samantha.
Well, you know what? I hate to say this. I hate to say this because I don't like aging women out of capability.
Right, of course.
But Kim Cattrall is kind of doing this to herself.
How so?
Okay, yes, I understand. She doesn't want to move backwards. She notoriously didn't get along with the rest of the cast, but she was the oldest of the friends and she also had cancer. So they're probably just going to make her dead.
So I first heard about this morning before we started recording. So do we know why Kim Cattrall isn't coming back? Is it because she doesn't want to keep doing the same character?
Yeah, you know, they've been going back and forth with the Sex and the City, should we, shouldn't we, for years. This is what Variety is saying. Sex and the City is getting a revival on HBO Max, according to Variety. The new chapter is titled, And Just Like That, ... It'll star Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis, Kim Cattrall won't be joining the series. Also, Parker, Nixon, and Davis will also serve as executive producers, along with Michael Patrick King. it's going to navigate love and friendship in their 50s. Mm-hmm. And the series will consist of 10 half-hour episodes set to begin production this year in New York City in the late spring.
But it doesn't say why she's not coming back.
No, you know, there's like notoriously a feud. I like Kim Cattrall a lot. I think it's a mistake that she's not coming back. I think mm-hmm. at this point, the world needs her to come back and she's just not willing to bend. Bend for what yeah. others need and put what she needs behind her.
Okay, so according to Vanity Fair...
Stop being selfish, Kim Cattrall. Stop being selfish, Kim Cattrall.
Cattrall has vowed for years that she would never return for another Sex and the City project due to her lingering bad blood with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
SJP has insisted they're not in a feud and has largely declined to discuss the issue. Mm. Look, I understand... Like, she might just be, like, sick of playing that character. It may not have been fun for her to do.
Yeah.
If there's bad blood, you don't want to go back onto a set where you're not having a good time. You know?
I get it. Okay.
I can understand that. So, I'm not going to be mad at her. Kathleen, can we talk about what you just said? We had this thing happen before we started recording where I said, how was your weekend? And you just dropped a sad bomb moved on. And I think we need to talk about it.
We unexpectedly had to put my dad's cat down this weekend, which stinks because I'm trying to be cheerful about it just for the sake of being cheerful. But we thought that the cat was just going in for like a little bit of congestion. It turns out the cat was suffering from something much more serious along the lines of lung cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, it's like, it was really sad because we didn't get a chance to say goodbye to the cat because just like hospitals, you can't go into the vet with your pet.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
The vet had the pet and we were like, we didn't say goodbye to the cat before he left the house, before my mom took him because he was coming home. Mm-hmm. And it's a very sad, it's like, okay, he's home. And then we didn't get any of that, that typical closure. So the COVID sucks for pet care too, turns out.
It does. It really does. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so, so sorry.
Totes bogus, man. Oh, thank you. On to happier things. Let's talk about curse words.
Okay.
Okay.
What's going on?
So, Bethany, your guy, Nicolas Cage, looking mighty fine in the new Netflix series. Did you watch any of his new, I think it's called like The History of Swear Words or something?
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. I've been soaking up Bridgerton, which I have many thoughts on, but I have not watched it yet. I love Nicolas Cage and this era of him taking all the jobs he can so he can pay off his debt.
Yeah.
I love this. I think that we are all benefiting from it. I like the projects that he's choosing. If you haven't seen Mandy or Color Out of Space, you should definitely watch those movies because they're amazing. But yeah, how is it?
I learned quite a bit about cursing from watching it. I'm not giving anything away because it's a very casual, sort of in the style of Drunk History type show. Do you know that when you curse, you're legitimately stronger?
Like physically?
Physically. Like if you're arm wrestling or if you're trying to lift something heavy, if you're like, fuck, you're more likely to lift that car above your head than as if you weren't cursing.
Do they talk about why that is? That's very interesting.
Yes, they give you details. And you can also withstand pain for a longer, and this is scientific. Scientific studies show that you can withstand pain for longer periods of time if you're cursing.
Well, words have weight. I mean, they say that all the time. And there are, you know, there's like... saying someone's name is very powerful. There's belief. There's, mm-hmm. you know, so there's belief that saying things put them out into the universe. There's belief that saying certain words make you feel a certain way. So I definitely believe that. That makes sense to me.
Well, fuck makes you stronger. Did your parents care about parental advisory stickers on TV shows and CDs when you were a kid?
Yes. I mean, I don't think that, I don't know if they paid attention to the stickers or like the actual grade the show was given, but they cared about swearing. They cared about sex. Like I wasn't allowed to watch certain shows because they had too much sex or they said shut up, you know, in them. And like that wasn't okay. So there were certain shows that we were very Christian and very strict about certain things and like language and the shows we watched were one of them. We couldn't play Dungeons and Dragons. We couldn't play with a Ouija board. We couldn't watch Blossom. Yeah. We couldn't watch
You couldn't watch Blossom?
No. Because they talked about sex. They talked about sex too much on that show.
Really?
Apparently.
Can we quickly take a hard left?
Yeah. Oh, you know I love a hard left.
I really would prefer to not be recording this podcast with you right now. I would prefer to be listening to my audiobook. I started listening over the weekend to The Woman in the Window.
Okay.
It is so good. And you know why? Highly why? Relatable. It's about a woman who's afraid to leave her house.
Oh, who wrote it?
It is by AJ Finn. And I am reading it because it's going to be on Netflix soon. Amy Adams stars in it, and it's going to be a movie that's going to be released on Netflix this year.
Does she have agoraphobia, or are there other reasons that we don't know that she doesn't want to go outside?
No, she has agoraphobia.
Nice.
And it's all about like these people in her life that also have Bethany, I didn't even know what agoraphobia was.
Oh, until, yeah.
You knew about this? Is it because you have agoraphobia?
It's because my therapist is always a little bit on the lookout for it.
I think that maybe, and we shouldn't be laughing about this because it's a serious psychological condition.
It's very real.
Agoraphobia is... I find myself the more that I quarantine, the more I try to avoid going out into the real world. I really do.
I mean, there are people who are like actually suffering from this very, very real debilitating mental illness. And then there are the rest of us who just like, we don't want to leave for whatever reason.
Because I'm lazy.
But because we're lazy. Yeah. Because pants are hard. But there are times where I'm out and I am very anxious and I just want to be back. And, you know, home is where the heart is and also where my ass is, and that is on the couch.
Can we take another hard left right now?
So now we're on the opposite side of the street from where we were. Let's keep going.
Hard left. We got an email from Taste Bud Jasmine, and I just want to read this quickly to you because I find it very exciting.
Okay.
Hi, ladies. I'm so excited about the mindfulness topic that you did last week. I wanted to share my experience, and it was too much for me to call and rant on the voicemail. But last year, and by last year, I mean 2019, lol. Last year, for her birthday, my girlfriend said to me, I really want to go on a meditation retreat. And actually, I have OCD and really bad anxiety, so this made me nervous because I thought that this would spark my anxiety. But I found this meditation retreat at a Buddhist monastery here in New York, and they do everything that Kathleen described. Walking meditation, you eat, you pick up something in silence, you eat in silence every day during the retreat for the first 15 minutes so you can be mindful of how you are eating and thinking about how you're eating. And then you wash your dishes in silence so you can wash them mindfully. And on top of the walking meditation, they also encourage you to just walk slowly everywhere you go to focus on your breath coming in and coming out. And they have a bell that rings every 15 minutes. So when you hear that, you stop talking, you stop doing what you're doing, and you bring yourself into the present moment. This weekend was life-changing, honestly. The monks and the nuns were the sweetest. We had so many great conversations. They had so many profound things to say. I purchased a bell to ring at home, and I downloaded their app so I can do walking meditations. We planned to go back last summer, but you know, pandemic. Anyway, that's my story about mindfulness. Okay, bye, Jasmine.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like a great place.
I wonder if we could organize a thing where like Taste Buds got to go, and then, you know, like we could all do it. I would love to do that.
That's an excuse to not talk. I think that'd be wonderful. I would love that.
Ready, Bethany? Bing.
Not talking.
Not talking. We're just
not
thinking,
talking.
Thinking about my breath coming in. Ooh, that felt good. I got that like into my backbones, you know?
Thinking about the Duke on Bridgerton.
Okay, Bethany, you're supposed to be thinking about things that are not like sex. Well, I guess you could think about sex.
I'm just thinking about
he's so hot, Simon. Oh my god,
it's velvet coat.
Oh my god, I just want to do stuff to him.
Like what? Make him a muffin.
Bing. Oh, we're back. Oh, that's cool experience.
What fun we just had. Speaking of Bridgerton, have you watched it all?
Oh. I have not finished it, but Glamour is reporting this morning that there could be up to 8 seasons of Bridgerton.
Holy cow. Yeah, there are many things that I want to continue watching. And there's a couple characters I'm obsessed with, including the second eldest daughter, the one who just wants to be in a library and read and try to figure out who the gossip columnist is. Yeah, She's my girl.
Wait, I saw this meme this weekend that was like, were you so upset when you found out that Dan Humphrey was Mrs. What's the name of the columnist? Mrs. Witherby?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
I don't remember.
So anyway, there's this columnist who writes this gossip column and all of the, you know, Victorian people are reading it. And it's Dan Humphrey. in the end, yeah.
I think that joke is about you. Is that joke about you?
No, what do you mean? Oh, no. Dan Humphrey. God.
Who's Dan?
Bethany.
Who's Dan Humphrey?
Bethany.
I thought that was a joke about the show You. Who's Dan Humphrey?
Bethany, bad girl.
Don't yell at me. Who's Dan Humphrey?
It's a Gossip Girl.
Oh, sorry. I didn't understand that pop culture reference.
I thought. Oh, my goodness.
Who's Dan Humphrey? I thought Blake Lively was the Gossip Girl.
You find ways to surprise me every single day.
Disappoint you. You mean disappoint
surprise.
You, right?
Surprise me.
I was really proud. I thought it was a reference to the show You. All right.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Kathleen, did you know that for a period of time in Agatha Christie's life, she disappeared. Did you know this?
I didn't. It doesn't surprise me, but truly, I don't know a lot about Agatha Christie other than when someone is like, too sleuthy for their own good. You could be like, oh, you're a regular Agatha Christie. And that's a sick burn.
So you only know it as an insult.
I only know Agatha Christie as an insult. I know she's a mystery novel writer.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And there's always been this big mystery surrounding her. Because for 11 days in 1926, when she was in her mid-30s, she just disappeared and no one knows what happened.
Where was she living at the time?
She was living in British. You know.
England, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. On Friday, December 3rd, 1926, Agatha Christie vanished from her home in Berkshire. After she had had an argument with her husband.
Did they have children?
Yes, they did. They had one child. So here are the basics. And keep in mind, Agatha Christie was already famous at this point. So people knew who she was.
Okay.
So shortly after 9:30 p.m. on Friday, December 3rd, 1926, Agatha Christie kissed her sleeping 7-year-old daughter goodnight and then got in her car and drove away.
Wait, what year was this again?
1926.
Agatha Christie knew how to drive? Were women allowed to drive back then?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Okay, yeah. 1926. She got in her car and drove away. That's how you know it's serious when a mother leaves her child.
When a mother leaves her child at night. Like, so she did not want to be stopped or found.
What's the one thing that you would have a hard time leaving behind?
My cats. I have nightmares about, I had a nightmare 2 nights ago that I left my cats behind and I woke up screaming into Loki's belly because he was sitting on my head.
No.
It was, I woke up doing that like scream where it's like garbled. What about you? What would you have a hard time leaving behind?
My Vitamix. It's not portable. It's really heavy. I know I'm a terrible person. I don't have kids yet, so that's what I have.
I still have a feeling you'd say your Vitamix. I'm not going to lie. Is it Timothy or the Vitamix? Oh, man, that's a real tough choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so over 1,000 police officers took part in the search for her.
Okay.
And over 15,000 regular people, just regular volunteers, took part too. Plus, this was the first time that police used airplanes to search for a missing person.
Oh. I mean, people were like, we need our novels. Find Agatha.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Investigators also brought in Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
and Dorothy L. Sayers, who wrote the Lord Peter Wimsey novels, because police were like, well, you're mystery writers. Maybe you'll have a unique perspective on like how this is going.
Oh, my God. That's like if we went missing and police were like, OK, other podcasters, where will they be?
Like, or for you, they would bring in Gwyneth because Gwyneth they'd be like, OK, well, a basic white girl went missing.
Yes.
Gwyneth. Mm-hmm. Come in and help us. And for me, they'd bring in, like, I don't know.
If for you, they would bring in, oh, I don't know, Bethany. You're a hard one to pinpoint.
MTV's Daria.
Oh, that's a good option. Yeah.
They'd bring in a cartoon. They'll never find me. So police quickly made a discovery. They found Agatha's car. And by the way, I'm just going to call her Agatha like we're best friends.
Okay.
Police found Agatha's car abandoned along a steep slope. The front wheels had, like, gone over. They got stopped by a giant bush. But there was no evidence. Shut up. Shut up. You're 12.
I'm so sorry.
I looked up when I said bush. I looked at you because I knew you were going to go. Okay, but they looked at the car. They looked at the road. Mm-hmm. There was no evidence that an accident had happened.
She left her car there and was like, peace.
Yeah, it looks like it. And also, the slope was near a natural spring called the Silent Pool. This had like a whole legend around it. Like the local community, they thought like there was no bottom to this pool. They also thought that children had reportedly died in it.
Ooh, that's fun. I want to go swimming in this pool.
It sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. But people close to Agatha were like, she wouldn't kill herself. She didn't kill herself. Plus they didn't find a body. Yeah. So
she's alive. We must keep looking.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the New York Times got involved. Journalists were all over this. This was tabloid gold. This was like a mystery writer goes missing. Like, this is perfect. You can't write something like this.
Who would go missing in modern day age that people would be really into?
It would be like if Stephen King went missing.
Okay.
That's what this would be.
Or Gillian Flynn.
Yeah. Or like Ruth Ware. Like if a mystery writer went missing, this would be this.
All right.
So an article in the New York Times quoted someone who was just listed as one of Mrs. Christie's friends. So even then, there were that like unnamed sources close to the blah, blah, blah. This friend said that Agatha Christie's house was to blame. The newspaper says, quote, it stands in a lonely lane, unlit at night, which has a reputation of being haunted. The lane has been the scene of a murder of a woman and the suicide of a man. And then the friend says that Agatha said, quote, if I do not leave Sunningdale soon, Sunningdale will be the end of me.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Okay. This sounds a lot like Agatha planned out her disappearance and told her friend to say this to the press.
You are not alone in thinking that that's what this sounds like. So, and at another point, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who loved the occult, he believed in the occult, he brought one of Agatha's gloves to a medium to see if the medium could get answers. It didn't work.
Okay. Gloves. Gloves.
Yeah, gloves.
That's so funny. She probably had gloves for all sorts of occasions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, driving plenty gloves. Of mm-hmm. Cooking gloves.
Mm-hmm. Going out to dinner gloves.
Mm, ooh, so fancy.
Mm-hmm. She's a fancy lady. So now the rumors begin.
Okay.
Rumors start flying that Agatha was possibly in London disguised as a man. Or that she had written a letter that was only to be opened in the event that her body was found, which is very exciting and something I would like to do myself.
Only if her body is found.
Mm-hmm. And what would that letter say? It's very mysterious.
It's like the same thing that I do occasionally now when I'm somewhere sketchy. I'm like, if I text somebody, like a friend or my husband, if I go missing, check out this person, just like you have a feeling.
Who do you list?
I always list, if I go missing, check out, it's usually the Uber driver or somebody who I think is following you down the street, even though we're just simply walking in the same direction. You know?
That poor person who's behind you is like going to get framed for murder. And it's like, they just wanted to get, you know, a Red Bull at the bodega. All right. Let's talk for a second about her husband.
Mm.
She was married to a man named Archie Christie. Mm. He was a World War I pilot.
Okay.
He also loved fucking other ladies who weren't his wife.
Oh, bad Archie.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And Agatha knew that he had a mistress.
Oh.
So.
It's like an episode of Law and Order, the original Law and Order.
Yeah, I know. So finally, on December 14th, this was 11 full days after she disappeared into the night, into the dark. A banjo player named Bob Tappan was banjoing at the Swan Hydro Hotel which was a super fancy hotel in an upscale area called Harrogate, probably.
Okay.
In the U.S., we'd call it Harrogate.
Harrogate.
Harrogate. And Bob saw a woman among the hotel's swanky clientele. He recognized her as Agatha Christie, and he called the police.
Shut the front door.
So it turns out Agatha Christie had checked into the Swan Hydropathic Hotel under the name Teresa or Tressa Neal. Neal was the name of her husband's mistress. Mm-hmm. In fact, when Agatha's husband came to pick her up at the hotel, she made him wait in the hotel's lounge while she took her sweet-ass time putting on her evening dress. And then when she came down, she just glared at him.
To publicly humiliate him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is a lady of my own heart.
So she spoke with police, obviously. She wasn't able to give any clues to police. She did not mention this disappearance in her autobiography. And in an absence of information, we get wild speculation and conspiracy theories, which continue to this day. Where and what happened to Agatha Christie when she disappeared for 11 days? So here are some theories.
Hit me with it. I love, this is such juicy gossip. Even 100 years later, I'm like,
Yeah, I love vintage hot goss. Yeah. Okay.
Vintage hot goss.
So actually, Kathleen, what do you think happened? What do you think was going on?
I think she was 100% punishing her husband, like, all right, you little bitch, you're going to cheat on me. I'm going to check myself into a nice hotel with a nice banjo player, and you can take care of the estate and the child, bitch.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here are some theories.
Okay.
So at the time, some crime writers and other people theorized that her husband had murdered her. Mm-hmm. This was before they found her. Yeah. Some said that she drowned herself in the reservoir and framed her husband for murder.
It's very hard to drown yourself, from what I hear.
Well, what are you hearing? And I mean, where are you hearing it?
Because it's like that fight or flight. It's that it's your natural, you know, like a lot of TV shows and movies, they always show people just walking into the water and all of a sudden they're dead. It doesn't happen like that. Your body's natural response once you actually physically start drowning is to fight it. It's very hard to drown yourself.
There are things you can do. I'm not going to say what they are, but like there are steps you could take. But you're right. It's
this
not like
dark.
It's not like a elegant way to like, you're going to, whatever. Mm. Her jerk husband said he believed she'd suffered total memory loss due to a car accident, but the car accident did not have any evidence of happening.
False.
So, then he probably went and had sex with someone else.
He's just trying to cover for himself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Biographer Andrew Norman believes that Agatha Christie fell into a psychogenic trance, or what people call a fugue state, which is like brought on by depression or trauma, and that she was suicidal. So like she didn't really know who or what she was, and she's just sort of wandering around.
I believe that.
Possible. Mm-hmm. Author Jared Cade believes that Agatha planned the disappearance as a way to embarrass her husband, but did not anticipate how huge the story would become.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
Biographer Laura Thompson thinks that Agatha left because she was having a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. She thinks that she knew what she was doing and was aware of her actions, but that she just couldn't control her emotions.
Mm. I could see you doing this.
Having a nervous breakdown?
And then checking yourself into the hotel under the name of your husband's mistress.
Yeah, no, I plan on doing it at some point.
It's a very Bethany thing to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's so nice. Okay, public perception for Agatha Christie once she was found was not great. Ooh. They assumed either that this was a publicity stunt or, like I said before, that she had tried to frame her husband for her own murder.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're using public resources and people are worrying about you and you're just hanging out in a fancy hotel, I can see where the public outrage comes from.
Yeah, like if they find you and you're stuck in a cave, people love you. But if they find you and you're in a spa, like getting some sort of mud treatment.
Yeah, in a spa cave.
Yeah, then not the same thing. People aren't going to be real happy about that.
There was recently this blogger in California in the Napa area, and she claims. She made this whole YouTube video about how, and she's a mommy blogger, how this couple in Michaels tried to steal her children. And the story blew up because she's a social media personality and she has a huge following on YouTube. And turns out she faked the whole dang thing.
Jeez, like there's something so wrong about that, because there are actual children who are taken, and why would you ever wish that?
Yeah, why would you ever?
Yeah.
So why would you take those resources away, you know, like from somebody who actually needs them? Why would you blame these two poor people?
They
were real people. Real people.
Are they? Please tell me they're suing her.
I hope so. I haven't followed up on the story recently, but insanity.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some closing info.
Yeah.
In 1928, so just 2 years after this happened, maybe not even, Agatha Christie lost patience with her cheating husband and she sued him for divorce. So that happened.
Sue him for divorce.
Yes.
That's what she had to do back then.
Mm-hmm. There have been some products and projects made based on the story. In 1979, there was a movie called Agatha starring Dustin Hoffman, Vanessa Redgrave, and Timothy Dalton.
What year was that?
79.
Oh, okay. So very long time ago.
Yeah. So from what I could gather from the Wikipedia description, that movie shows Agatha trying to kill herself in an electroshock therapy chair at the spa hotel, which, okay. There was a 2018 movie called Agatha and the Truth of Murder that shows Agatha helping solve a real murder case during those 11 days. And there is a new novel, a relatively new novel called The Mystery of Mrs. Christie that also addresses what happened during this time away.
Cool.
But I found a quote from Agatha Christie that she did in 1928, and I have only seen this referenced once.
Okay.
So I'm confused why it isn't referenced more often, because it's the only time that she talked about this incident. So that, I'm like,
what's
the
quote? What's the quote?
This is what she said.
Okay.
She said that she was driving by a rock quarry when, quote, "there came into my mind the thought of driving into it. However, as my daughter was with me in the car, I dismissed the idea at once. Mm-hmm. That night, I felt terribly miserable. I felt that I could go on no longer. Mm. I left home that night in a state of high nervous strain with the intention of doing something desperate. When I reached a point on the road, which I thought was near the quarry, I turned the car off the road down the hill toward it. I left the wheel and let the car run. The car struck something with a jerk and pulled up suddenly. I was flung against the steering wheel and my head hit something. Up to this moment, I was Mrs. Christie."
Oh, so, psychosis. It's definitely psychosis.
Well, I think it sounds like she was suicidal. It sounds like she was suicidal. And then I think when it didn't happen, it sounds like she had this realization of like, that was life before, this is life now, you know?
You know, I wonder if being somebody who writes such amazing mystery novels and always having your brain think about the worst case scenario, I'm sure it permeates every facet of your life. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that could take a toll on you psychologically.
Totally. Yeah. You're always thinking about really dark things and like trying to validate the reason for a crime. Mm-hmm. Like when you write those characters, a character never does something to be evil. A character does something because they think it's the best thing for them to do. Mm. So you have to constantly be justifying, why does this person think murder is the right thing to do? And that, you know, that's an interesting place for your brain to go.
Is that true about writing characters? The character never does anything because they think it's going to be evil?
Well, think about it. I mean, it's true for acting. Like if you have to act, let's say you have to play someone who kills their best friend in a movie.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So your character kills their best friend.
Yeah.
No one ever goes, haha, I'm going to do something evil and awful, murder. Mm. That's too easy and that's too one-dimensional. You have to think, okay, I'm in a panic.
Yeah.
This person knows this secret about me. Yeah. If this secret gets out, it's going to ruin my entire life. My wife is going to leave me. I'm going to lose all of my money. I'm going to be laughed at. Oh my gosh, this person won't stop talking. Why won't they stop talking? I'm panicking. I'm going to kill them.
Oh.
You have to do like all of that work.
Yeah.
Because no one ever thinks that in the moment they're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. Everything is justified, right? You don't do anything that you don't justify to yourself.
That, you make a good
point. Even though some people might not agree with certain whatever.
I never thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting. So ultimately, what I think happened is that she was either just sick of her husband and needed a break and needed to like get away from everything for a second and clear her head. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she did have a breakdown and needed, again, to get away and clear her head. But it's fascinating.
If you were going to disappear yourself.
Forever or just for a period of time?
Tomorrow. You don't have a lot of time to plan it. It's like tomorrow or maybe the day after. Maybe I'll give you until Monday. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. What would you do? Where would you go?
Oh, man. Okay. I would leave tons of food for the cats.
Yes.
And I would leave the door unlocked knowing that Dennis eventually would come to check on me. He would find the cats. He would take care of them.
Wait, does Dennis not have a key to your apartment?
No, he has one. But like just in case, you know, so my landlords could get into.
Yeah. But they have a key to your apartment too, Bethany.
They do.
Okay.
But they also are so against using it that if they have to get in and I'm not here, they often ask me to just leave the door open.
Okay, gotcha.
So whatever. Leave the door open.
Okay. I'm sorry. This was like a strange detail that I was really curious about.
Fascinated by the key incident. Where would I go?
To the ATM, Bethany. You gotta go to the ATM.
No, because then it shows that you planned this. Because they're going to track your bank info.
Well, you got to get out cash because they're going to find you when you use your credit card.
Okay, well then, I don't have a lot of time to plan this. Mm. So unless it's okay that people know I'm trying to disappear. So then, okay, I use an ATM really close to my house.
No one can know that you're disappearing.
Well, then you can't use an ATM. You have to plan ahead then.
Okay.
Because otherwise.
Okay. No ATM. How are you going to survive? No, how much cash do you have in your wallet right now? I'm going to say like $10.
I think I have $11. So I have 11 and I think I have $100 hidden somewhere, but I don't remember where it is. So I have $111.
Okay.
I think I would hop on one of those big buses.
Yeah, the mega. They cost like $5. You can go across the country for $12.50.
Yep. I think I'd hop on a mega bus.
Yeah.
And then I would go back home. I'd go to the Midwest and I know my family wouldn't tell on me. Like they wouldn't. I would just stay there. Go brunette. More brunette than I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. What about you? Where would you go? What would you do? You take your Vitamix.
No, it's too heavy. I'm only going to take what fits in my knapsack. My dungarees and my knapsack.
What were they called? I want to say Cabbage Patch, but they're not Cabbage Patch. The four kids who lived in a boxcar. The boxcar children.
I don't know about the boxcar children.
Oh, it's a whimsical look at being an orphan.
Oh. Tantalizing. Yeah. I would go somewhere very local because people would be like, what faraway land did she go to? My mom has a crawl space.
Why does your mom have a crawl space? Nothing good happens with a crawl space.
There's like a space on her third floor where it used to be storage, but then raccoons got into there once and destroyed a bunch of shit. So now it's kind of sealed off. I would unseal it, get in there with a bunch of food from my cabinets, and I would just hang out for a couple days. You need a bucket and a gallon of water to survive.
Yeah.
Do the poo-poo pee-pee and then drink water. Yeah.
Would your mom know that you're there or no?
No. Mm-mm. She'd have no idea.
I love that we would just both go to our moms.
But I'm not telling my mom that I'm there. That's the thing.
I'm totally telling my mom, and she would totally keep the secret.
That's
great.
Like when people, when you like kill somebody and you're like, oh my God, I killed somebody. And then you take down a wall and put up a wall and their body mummifies inside the wall.
Crazy. Yeah, I know. That happens all the time.
Crazy.
You have to box them into a wall. But like you have to also make sure that they don't run out as you're boxing them into the wall.
Yeah. It's the thing.
How do you keep them from running out is my question.
They're dead, Bethany. They're dead.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sometimes they do it when they're alive.
That's
horrible.
Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm glad Agatha Christie lived. She produced many acclaimed novels. Mm-hmm. And how did she die in the end? What was her cause of death?
That's a great question.
Let's see.
Can you imagine if it was like grisly murder? And we just don't. We gloss over it. Let me look quickly.
Agatha Christie photo. I don't even know what she looked like. Oh. She looks like a woman who's got a lot of like things going on in her head.
Many thoughts going on in that lady head of hers. Mm.
Yeah, lady head.
How did she pass away? Death. She died peacefully at age 85 from natural causes.
85.
You can go to her gravestone.
Way to go. Where is it?
St. Mary's Church in Cholsey, Oxfordshire.
Agatha Christie living family? Are any of her family members?
Well, she had one daughter named Rosalind.
Oh, I like that.
It's a great name. Mm-hmm. I think that was her only child. So I don't know if Rosalind had babies.
Had babies.
But I also want to mention, because we did talk about suicide a little bit, if you or someone you know is having thoughts, please do not go through with those thoughts. We need you. There is help available. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 800-273-8255. We will put that number in the show notes. There is also a number you can text if you don't want to call. I know sometimes calling feels a little bit too much. You can text the number 741-741. You can text the word HOME to connect with a crisis counselor.
And, I mean, not on a lighter note, but sure. I mean, if you are thinking about planning your own disappearance and you need help, please reach out to me and Bethany because we would like to aid in that. I think. Is that legal?
Well, in a non-official capacity. Yeah, we're not looking to be investigated by the police for this. We're more interested in just like spitballing some ideas theoretically of what a person might do.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Miss Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Okay, here is a little map to the inside of my brain. My topic today is 14 seemingly harmless things that you eat and drink every day that could kill you.
Okay, Kathleen. So
cool.
Just Google this because you're feeling panicky about the world?
No. I'll tell you what happened. I have a spot on my leg that there's no bruise. It feels like a bruise. So automatically my mind is like, oh, you're dying. So look it up.
Okay. So it just feels really tender, but on the surface, there's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So
on the surface, it looks calm and ready.
I came across this article Googling everyday aches and pains that actually mean you're dying.
Kathleen.
It's from businessinsinsider.com.
Why is that a Business Insider article?
The journalist is Aaron Broadway. Okay.
That's not going to help me run my business.
Number one. What is that thing, Bethany, that you and I talk about all the time that we need every morning and it's brown like poo?
Coffee. It's my
coffee
favorite.
Will kill you.
I don't care.
If you drink 120 cups of coffee in a day, it's going to kill you.
Okay. No one's drinking 120 cups of coffee in a day. That's stupid. Anything can kill you if you drink 120 of them.
So coffee makes you feel alert, makes you feel like you're ready to take on the world. Mm-hmm. But some people have gotten access to powdered pure caffeine. If you put that, mix that in with water, you're not just doing the Jesse Spano freak out. You're dead.
Wait, so what's pure powdered caffeine?
It's just powder that you mix with water. And actually in 2014, two separate instances of young males mixing pure powdered caffeine in with their water, they died.
Wait, so...
Mm-hmm. So I tried looking up online where you could find it. I got sidetracked when I discovered that there is a vape pen, a non-nicotine vape pen that will actually administer caffeine to your body.
Oof. Okay, so here's an article on the FDA's website.
Yeah.
It says just one teaspoon of pure powdered caffeine can contain the same amount of caffeine as 28 cups of coffee. That's insane. I've never heard of this before. It sounds like you're just drinking cocaine.
I imagine your heart would stop.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just like cocaine plus water equals death.
I also kind of fell down a rabbit hole of other things that give you caffeine that aren't coffee.
Do you remember I used to eat those caffeine jellies? They were like cubes of coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, they make gummy bears that administer caffeine now.
I liked them. Those are good.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't try one if it was put in front of me.
Absolutely.
On the weirder side, there's a company called Brooklyn Roasting Company. They make an activation energy granola that has caffeine in it.
When you're hiking and you're like, I just can't make it down this hill. I have to take a nap. You better make it down that hill. So you got to have your granola. You got to have your caffeine granola.
I would like to try that. Here's one that I definitely like to try. Hot sauce. There's a company called Double Kick. They have an energizing hot sauce with a caffeine content of 12 milligrams per teaspoon. You need about 7 teaspoons to get a buzz.
That's a lot of teaspoons. I feel like that's so much hot sauce. Seven teaspoons.
A Bloody Mary. I like my Bloody Marys real spicy. Okay. I don't know about you.
I don't like them, so...
You don't like Bloody Marys?
No, I struggle. I don't like tomato juice. I don't, yeah. I just can't.
I see how that would be a problem.
Yeah. it's a real barrier to entry on the Bloody Mary.
There is a caramel made from goat's milk, so Fanta.
Oh.
In Vermont, so also wholesome.
yeah, totally.
And it has Stumptown coffee in it, and it will give you a little bit of caffeine, caramel caffeine.
Mm. That sounds delicious. How much is it expensive?
Yes, it is. $15 for 8 ounces.
No, thank you.
How'd you know? I also discovered that Juul, the people who make vape pens, they make a caffeine bracelet. So you like put a little caffeine patch and then you put the bracelet on.
Oh, you know what? It works for nicotine. I'd probably try that. Maybe. I'd try that transdermally. Yeah. I'm into it.
Also, on the weirder side, there's a body spray that says if you spray this on your body, I don't know the name of the company, caffeine is absorbed directly into your bloodstream.
That seems not true to me.
Is everything you put on your skin absorbed directly into your bloodstream? Because I have to change the way I do things.
I mean, because then there would be no point of skin. Like if everything we touched... That was liquid. Like if you spill orange juice and then as you're wiping up the orange juice, it gets on your skin. You don't have to worry that the orange juice is going into your bloodstream.
Or do you?
That seems or should we be way more concerned? Because my cat puked the other day and I definitely got it on my hand when I was cleaning it up. Uh-oh. Should I worry?
Feline bile, number one killer of spinsters.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Another beverage that we love that can kill us. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Water.
This one I have heard of.
Water regulates the shape of your cells. Apparently, athletes have a tendency to overdo this, and they drink too much water when they're training, and they wash away all of their salt and their electrolytes.
That's what it is. Okay, that makes sense.
So to stay healthy, if you are drinking a lot of water, just make sure you have a bag of Doritos too.
Yeah, or do what Dick Cheney does and just like drink salt. Just pour it down your mouth.
Wait, what? How do you know this about Dick Cheney?
I read an article once where someone was having dinner with him and he cut a piece of steak and then salted every single side of the piece of steak that he cut, like the cube.
Oh, that sounds, he's a man of my heart. I freaking love salt.
Well, then you should drink a lot of water.
So here's something interesting about salt. There was a study done in 2005. They studied Boston Marathon runners from 2002. And they found that about 1/6 of the Boston Marathon runners had consumed excess water, too much water, during the marathon.
We all hear how you have to drink enough water. We're all dehydrated, blah, blah, blah. And so I always am just chugging water to the point where I probably do drink too much.
When you do drink too much water, the symptoms are nausea, vomiting, and other things.
Yeah, working in radio as we both used to, Were you in radio when the urine hold your wee for a wee happened?
Yeah, that happened in 2007. No, I didn't.
So you weren't in it yet. I had just started in radio. Maybe a year later. We weren't really allowed to talk about it, but it was this big, horrible, like, radio bit that a woman passed away from. If you just want to Google hold your Wii for a Wii, like a Nintendo Wii, that's where a lot of people learn that you can die from drinking too much water. It was really sad.
How much water do you think you drink a day?
Do
cups of coffee count?
Okay, so I read this thing once that said that if you drink a lot of coffee and your body is used to it, coffee can count as a little bit of hydration, but it also dehydrates you at the same time, so it's probably probably nil. I don't know. I drink a lot. Probably, what is this?
What's the ratio? How much water do you need a day? It's like you need to take your weight and divide it by something, divide it by something. For average, women need 11.5 cups a day. That's 2.7 liters. Men need 15 cups a day. That's 3.7 liters. So that wee for a wee, that woman, she drank 6 liters in less than 3 hours. And your kidneys can only process up to 1 liter every hour. So yeah, too much water.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Okay. Good to know. You're dead. Good to keep in mind.
The next everyday item that you eat regularly that can kill you, salt.
Salt. Yeah. Also makes sense. Hand in hand with water.
Yeah. Too little salt can also kill you. But if you have 48 teaspoons of salt, you're dead.
So one thing that I don't understand with food and caffeine and sodium is milligrams. I don't understand how milligrams add up to whatever, like, you know, when they say like 120 milligrams of caffeine, I don't know what that means. And the same with salt.
Did you take science class? Is there science class in the Midwest?
No, we just learn about cows.
That's what I always say. There's a delicate balance of water and salt in our cells to keep them happy. We already covered this talking about water. There is a condition known as hypernatremia. In milder symptoms include fatigue and weakness, but the condition worsens as it can lead to seizures, a coma, and in rare cases, death. That is too much salt.
Okay.
So yeah, make sure you're hitting that salt shaker to keep yourself healthy. Doritos. Let's see. Doritos.
Wait, are they?
Serving size is 28 grams, okay?
Okay.
In a serving size of Doritos, there's 210 milligrams of salt. All right. So what'd they say? 48 teaspoons of salt will kill you. How many milligrams of salt in a teaspoon? One single teaspoon has 2,300 milligrams of sodium. So if you have 48 of those, you die. So let's see. Do some quick math. 2,300 times 48, 110,400. Okay. Divide that by 210. That's from the Doritos. And you can have 525 servings of Doritos.
Did you just do that all in your head?
Before you die.
Holy cow. Okay. That's amazing.
So 525.
You're like the gif of the woman with all the math equations going by her head as she looks real confused.
Okay. Are you impressed? Are you impressed?
I'm so impressed.
Okay, I did that on purpose because I wanted you to think I was good at math, but I had it all written down already.
I thought maybe, but I wanted to believe you did it in your head because you totally strike me as the kind of person who could do that in your head.
You know, I even looked up to like make it
seem. That's why I believed you.
I know, I looked up to make it seem like I was like processing these numbers in my head. Nope. Fooled you.
And then I also saw you pause and I could tell that that was going to be the thumbnail that you use when you overlay the equations. I was like, that's what you do.
Okay, anyway.
Getting that thumbnail.
525 servings of Doritos. That is all you have. Well, let's say to be safe, you go a little lower, 520, okay?
Yeah, totally. Okay. So we'll stop at 519.
To maintain the status of alive. All right. The next thing that can kill you that you have every day. 71 extra strength Tylenol will kill you.
That feels like so many. That's so many Tylenol.
Why would you need to take that? I always feel like I'm teetering on the edge of taking too many when I put 4 in my hand.
Yeah, I don't even take Tylenol because I'm afraid, because I know Tylenol like messes with your liver.
Oh, really?
Or your kidneys.
Oh, that's, I think. Yes. I remember people, it was a hot topic a lot the first year of college. Don't take Tylenol before you go to the frats to drink because Tylenol, you can't have Tylenol when you have alcohol. Apparently, 460 Americans die, roughly, a year overdosing on acetaminophen, which is what's in Tylenol.
Yeah, this says, again, FDA says acetaminophen can cause serious liver damage if you take too much.
71 yeah. extra wow. strength pills. Yeah, so like let's stick to two and then don't have any wine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Here's another one. Shots, you know. I don't do shots, but I know people do shots. They sure. go to the bar, they do shots. 13 rapid shots of alcohol will kill you.
Okay. There are so many college students yeah. who are just straight up lucky to be alive. Because yeah. do you do power hour? Did you do power hour?
For sure. Yeah. And I did yeah. it way into my adult life also.
So I know there have to be people who have done 13 shots
oh, yeah.
in an hour.
Yeah, that are lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
So you know that drinking can blur your vision, slur your speech, and mess with your memory. But those effects can be deadly if we drink too much too quickly. Between 2006 and 2012, 88,000 Americans died from excessive alcohol consumption.
Wow.
It's something with the alcohol and the bloodstream, and it makes your brain shut down.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Alcohol's so scary.
So 13 shots in the span of a few hours is enough to kill you.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's another one. And this is one I really got to be on the lookout for. 85 bars of chocolate can kill you. You're dead. Okay. The article says, although it tastes delicious, chocolate contains enough of this toxic chemical theobromine to kill a small animal. That's why you can't give chocolate to your pets.
Oh, I knew it was bad. I didn't know why. That's good to know.
The same ingredient can kill people too. We can have it in small doses because we metabolize it way better than cats and dogs. But if you eat too much of it, it can have some serious health effects.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
85 chocolate bars.
85 is a lot of chocolate bars. So I think the nice thing is that your stomach is smaller than probably what it takes to poison you.
I would like to melt 85 chocolate bars just to see what the liquid consistency looks like. Mm. And then like make that estimate if it could fit into my stomach or not.
Mm. When I worked at Starbucks, they launched liquid chocolate, which did not take off. But it was this thing back in like the olden times, people would drink liquid chocolate. And so they tried to bring it back.
Yeah, sipping chocolate.
Did not sell. Yeah, sipping chocolate. Yep.
We got a couple years ago when we were working in radio, we got this box. And in the box had like fancy things in it. And we got a cocoa powder that was supposed to be a sipping chocolate. And it was infused with all these other healthy things. Do you remember this cocoa powder that we had? Uh-uh. I loved it so much. I was like, oh man, when I run out of this, I'm going to have to buy more of it. It cost $85 for sipping chocolate cocoa powder.
How much did you get?
I mean, we got a big canister of it.
And so it was like $85 for the canister?
Yeah, $85 for the canister.
Jeez, I think that's the issue is it's expensive. Crazy. It's sipping so expensive.
It sounds so fancy. Like, Bethany, would you like to come over to my house for some sipping chocolate?
Sipping chocolate? But I do shooting chocolate. I just shoot it. And now I'm out of chocolate. And now I'm sad.
13 shots of chocolate in an hour. That won't kill you. But if it's 85 bars, that will kill you. Okay.
That will kill you.
Moving on. Next thing. 22 apples. If you eat those in a day, you're dead.
Can I guess why?
Okay, go ahead.
Is it arsenic?
It is arsenic. Yes. Seeds and apples contain trace amounts of the sugar cyanide compound arsenic that can be potentially lethal when it's processed in large amounts by the body. The estimated apple seed averages about 700 milligrams of hydrogen cyanide per kilogram of dry weight. That means nothing to me.
Yeah, me either.
But I'm going to tell you anyway. 1.5 milligrams of cyanide per kilogram of body weight can kill.
Is that assuming people are eating the apple seeds, or do the apple seeds sort of absorb throughout the apple?
That is assuming that you're eating the apple seeds.
Who eats the apple seeds?
So you'd have to chew and swallow up to half a cup of apple seeds in one sitting to put yourself at risk.
So I remember my sister's going to kill me, but here we are. when we were younger, my sister, I think she was in high school, she went to this like hippie church camp in Colorado, I think it was. And she came back and was like, we eat the full apples because it's no waste, you know? So like at this camp, they would eat like all of the apple, including the seeds. And later years when I learned that the seeds had arsenic, I was like, y'all were poisoning yourselves in that hippie camp.
Well, when I do my green juices, I always put an apple in my green juice and I just throw the whole thing in.
Sure.
Because that's what Reese Witherspoon told me to do on Instagram when she was making her green juice. And now I'm thinking that maybe Reese Witherspoon is trying to kill me.
She might be. She might be trying to kill you. with great content, but awful diet advice.
When you have larger doses of cyanide, it can lead to problems like breathing problems, kidney failure, blah, blah, blah. If you're planning on noshing on a lot of apples at some point in the future and you're a little paranoid about poisoning, swallow the seeds whole. They're more likely to pass through your digestive system.
Don't eat the seeds. Who is eating the seeds? Just don't.
Your
just
sister. No one else. Your sister.
Okay, yeah, but like, and her church friends. But that was weird. That was weird to all of us. Like, they're just talking about this. Like, does anybody know to stop at the core?
You stop at the core.
Who doesn't stop at the core? Apparently, everyone's just eating these seeds willy-nilly.
Can't eat apple seeds willy-nilly. Other seeds that you cannot eat willy-nilly. If you're looking to do some harm with some arsenic, crushed cherry pits, ooh, peach pits, apricot pits, and plum pits. They all contain similar chemicals to hydrogen cyanide, and they can also be toxic.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Wasn't there a case, or maybe it was a movie, or maybe it was a Lifetime thing, where a woman tried to kill her husband by saving cherry pits and grinding them up and putting them in his food?
That feels like a Lifetime movie thing. Hmm. Women killing. Lifetime.
You know, it's not a bad idea to carry poison around with you at all times. I'm just going to say
it is
that.
I feel like it is a bad idea.
No, because if somebody's trying to kill you, yeah, and they look away, just pour it into their water, their coffee, and wait, no, oh my God, that's the same thing as roofying, isn't it?
It is. No, it is, except that this also kills.
Okay. Forget I said any of that. Let's.
How often are people trying to kill you on in your day-to-day life?
You never know.
Well, I feel like you need to make different choices with who you hang out with.
No, you're probably right. Cleaning products can kill you, but not in the way that you think.
I think the way that I think is like you eat
no,
your Ajax and it kills you.
Without ingesting it.
Oh.
If you use, and these two that are together, if you use Windex and bleach at the same time, you could be dead.
Why?
If you ever think that you need bleach for a tough job, be sure not to mix it with anything else while you're cleaning. The combination of Windex and bleach can produce dangerous toxic gases. In a small confined place, like in a bathroom, it would be easy to accidentally inhale too much. Mixing bleach and ammonia, an ingredient found in some types of Windexes and other glass cleaners, is a major no-no. This mixture forms a vapor called chloramine, a toxic gas that can burn your lungs, and enough of it can also form hydrazine, a dangerous liquid that can explode. Never use straight bleach to clean. There's a handy chart. I'll put the link to it in our notes from the CDC to find out the right mix of water and bleach for your cleaning job.
That I'm so glad you said that because I didn't know at all. I didn't know that. By the way, so you know the plural of index is indices? So is the plural of Windex windices?
Windices sounds like something you take to stop from farting. Like gas X.
I ate too many hot dogs, and now I have to take wind disease.
Wind disease. Stop the wind.
Thank you for saving our life.
You're quite welcome. I'm here every day to help you out. Doing my job.
Doing your job.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
The news has been a little bit terrifying this week.
Yeah, it sure has been.
Do you remember Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Yes. I also remember that Jennifer Love Hewitt did like a Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul or something. Because I once saw a picture of her in People magazine signing copies of it. And I noticed that she held her pen weird.
Okay, so I used to get a copy of Chicken Soup for the Soul every single Christmas. It's what my grandma bought me, okay?
Was it always just the same copy or was it a different incarnation?
No, because they had so many different types. There were like Chicken Soup for the Preteen Soul, Chicken Soup for the Children's Soul, then it was eventually the Teenage Soul, and then it was
the
like
Dog Lover Soul.
Yeah, Chicken Soup for people who love chicken soup.
Yeah.
And so I think that we need I don't know who is responsible. I don't know if they're still publishing these books, but I devoured them. Like on Christmas Day, I was like, "Yes, I get to read my new Chicken Soup." And so it is that type of just really nice, really pleasant news that I think we need more of in our life.
Isn't John Krasinski doing his good news? Isn't he like, didn't he sell good news?
Yeah, there's something like that. But I want, you know, Delilah. I freaking love Delilah.
She's
Delilah.
Lovely.
Delilah. She is on the radio in Seattle. She also has a syndicated show she's on at night. Like, do you think that maybe you and I could do a show that was Delilah, but for millennials who are a little bit more sarcastic, and then also our hearts were just slightly darker. Why are you laughing? I'm being very serious. This is a serious business proposition.
Like
we could pitch ourselves as chicken soup for the millennial soul, but also shut in introverts, but happy like 75% of the time.
Like maybe poisoned soup for the millennial soul.
Bethany, you just need to recognize how blessed you are.
Hashtag blessed.
You know? So our show could be more of a balance than what Delilah has, because Delilah is always happy.
Yeah.
Our show could have people call in and tell why they're blessed, but also why they're not blessed.
Okay.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I think so.
Like, I am blessed to have a bathroom.
Yes, of course.
I am not blessed when my cat poops on the bathroom rug and I step in it and then I get poop in my makeup bag and all over the house.
How did you get... Okay, first of
all... It's all about balance.
How did you... Okay, first of all, if you hear things in the background, I am making coffee and I'm not going to try to edit it out because that's where we are today. B of all, how did you step in poop and then it end up in your makeup bag?
Because my makeup bag was on the floor and my toe touched my makeup brush.
Gross. That kind of
thing. So, Bethany, why don't you give it a try? You are blessed because...
I am blessed because... I have a roof over my head. I am not blessed because I do believe that there are now two people living on that roof.
Are you being for real?
Yeah, I think that the guy, remember there was a guy living on my roof?
Yeah, a while back. Is he back?
I now think he's brought a friend.
No.
Because I hear more than like two footsteps upstairs at night.
You need to put a camera on the roof. You need to put your ring on the roof.
I mean, I think it's fine. The first guy wasn't violent. In fact, he seemed kind of nice. So whatever. What about you? Right. What are you blessed, not blessed?
I am blessed because I have a husband. I am not blessed when my husband eats a burrito and smokes me out of the bedroom at night with his noxious, fumy farts. I am blessed to have hair. I am not blessed when that hair gets dirty every 2 days and I have to wash it and take time out of my busy day.
Or when you find that hair in parts of your body that you should not have had that hair.
It's all about balance. And you know how Delilah plays a song?
Yeah.
Like, Susan, I'm really sorry that your brother's addiction problems are affecting your family the way that they are right now. Here is a song for you. And then she plays something by Bette Midler or like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we could play, like, Bethany, I know you like some weird music. You like some like Metallica girl Korean pop. We could play that instead.
Can we play like the Marilyn Manson version of This Is Halloween? From Nightmare Before Christmas.
Seriously, someone calls in and was like, Bethany and Kathleen, man, my boss is being such an asshole right now. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, Katie, here's a song for you.
But it has nothing to do with anything Katie was talking about. It's not like,
get out the way.
Yeah.
Get out the way.
I had Ariel yesterday and everyone kept asking for what song they should do their routine to. And I just kept saying, This Is Halloween by Marilyn Manson. And none of them did it. And so I'm just going to, you know, I doubled down. And so I'm doubling down. I'm going to play that for every song.
Gentle listener, you know how on Halloween we ask for scary stories? If you have a chicken soup for the soul kind of story about why your life is amazing and you found love of your life and everything's going great, please send us an email with that story. We want to start reading chicken soup for the soul story.
But like, can they have a little bit of an edge to them?
Okay.
If they're so sweet, I just get real bored.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be a jerk. I just like if it's like ever, you know, I married my childhood sweetheart and he's still really sweet and everything's great. I'm bored. But if it's like I married my childhood sweetheart, it turns out that his dad was a serial killer. But the reason that I'm hashtag blessed is because none of those serial killer genes passed on to him.
Oh, or
ding, ding, ding.
Like Bethany and Kathleen, I am so blessed because I just got the job of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I am not blessed because I had to murder my coworker to get his job.
Yeah, or like, I'm blessed because I got the job of my dreams. That job is as a grave digger.
Oh.
That's a great job, and that's more, come on. Like, make me excited. I want to hear, like, the darker sides of why you're happy.
2021.
The t-shirt you ordered that has an x-ray of, you know, I don't know, some sort of weird physical anomaly you found on the internet. You know, that's finally made it in the mail and you're really excited because it's super soft.
Chicken soup for the tortured soul.
2021.
There we go. That's our pitch right there. Right. NPR, we're coming for you.
Also, we have an email from listener Kate.
Oh.
Bless Kate. Kate was listening last week when I had a mid-talk. A throat bubble just went out of my throat. And it was disgusting. Kate says, Bethany, hello. I was just at the doctor the day before I listened to the episode where your throat was making noises. I've been having the same issue, my throat making noises and having that bubbling feeling. And my doctor told me it often is related to acid reflux. And for me, that seems to be the issue. And knowing you drink a lot of coffee, maybe check into acid reflux. Love you both so much. You ladies rock. And that's from Kate. That's interesting. I will look into acid reflux. I don't know if I have it, but maybe I have it and I'm just dealing with it and don't even realize. But in that vein, hold on, I'm going to pour some coffee.
Okay, go.
Kathleen,
go.
Kathleen, monologue for a bit while I pour some coffee.
Okay, no problem. Oh my goodness gracious.
Monologue!
What do I say?
Anything, just keep talking.
So, gentle listener, how are you feeling creatively lately? Because I've been trying to expand my horizons. And instead of looking at normal everyday objects, just like, oh, there's that thing, I tried to describe the object in detail to give my heart a little bit of happiness. So I'm looking out my back window right now at my neighbor's veranda. And I wish I had a veranda. And there's some rust. So I'm going to say this lovely moss green veranda with decorative rust coming down the side is set up beautifully with an indoor outdoor. Oh my god!
Ooh, that's so good. What just fell? What happened?
Holy shit! My cat knocked over my ring light, and it just it almost killed me.
Oh no!
Oh my lord!
It changed the light on you. Everything looks different.
Cats.
You know what? Is Mercury in retrograde? I can't tell because I turned off my internet because it was interfering with our recording.
How are you doing? How are you connected to the internets right now? Talking to me. We're on Skype.
I turned off my browser, so I can't browse. I'm still on the internet.
Everything's going to shit. Mercury is in retrograde. Bethany, I have some jokes to cheer you up.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah, okay. No, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay.
Why don't oysters donate to charity?
Why?
Because they're shellfish. What does a baby computer call its father?
His father drive?
Data. What does a penguin build its house together with?
Ice cubes.
Igloos. I don't know if I told that one correctly. what do you call a fly without wings?
A walk.
Oh my god, you got it right.
Yay, that one was intuitive.
How can you find Will Smith in the snow?
He's the
follow the Fresh Prince. Okay.
I'm so upset.
Why did Adele cross the road?
To
say hello from the other side.
There you go. Okay. So mad that these are making me laugh, and I'm blaming you.
One more. How do you organize an astronomer's party? Come on, Bethany, you got this.
With a sextant?
Nope. You plan it.
Okay.
Planet, like a planet instead of planet.
No, I get it.
Bethany, you're wearing tan today. I'm very disappointed that you're not wearing color.
Tan is a color.
No, it's not, girl.
Tan is a color.
I would like to see you in pink next time we record.
Okay, you know
maybe
what?
This is
I would
why
like to see a pile
so
of
tortured.
Money in front of me, but not everything is going to happen the way you want it to happen. I'm in a mood today. I'm at sixes and sevens.
Oh my goodness. Do not call anybody, Bethany. Take a nap after we're done recording this. Do not make any business deals. You know, like you... Decisions made today should not be taken seriously that by you.
Have I hurt your feelings?
Why would you hurt my feelings?
I don't know, because I'm feisty and kind of grumpy today.
No, that's how I like it, baby girl.
Okay, good.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you have an animal, if you bring an animal into your home, whether it be a small newbornish young animal or an elder animal, if there is anything you need to do with and to that animal every single day or with any amount of consistency, you have to be consistent, because I am not consistent with my cats. I have very high maintenance cats, and as such they always hate the thing that I need to do, be it brushing to keep them from having mats all over, or now brushing their teeth. Ooh. I have to brush their teeth every day. I'm not doing it. And so now every time I brush their teeth, it's a battle. So even if they don't like it, start slowly, but do it every day.
Do it every day.
You got to.
That's what they say about working out.
Yeah, you that's got what to. They say about so it's less torturous to them. They're never going to love it, but at least they'll get used to it.
Okay. Can I tell? I'm so excited.
What about you, Kathleen?
Okay. So I learned that in the Supreme Court, there is a basketball court in the Supreme Court building.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And it has a nickname. The nickname is so creative. I love it so much. Everybody tell your friends, tell your mom. The nickname of this basketball court is the highest court in the land.
Wait, is this true?
Mm-hmm.
You said this is a joke you didn't tell me.
No, I read this on bestlifeonline.com/funniest-facts.
.gov/html.
It's a thing. It's a thing. So if I ever break into the Supreme Court building, I'm going to summon the ghost of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and then play a game of horse with her.
Apparently it's very easy to break into any government building, as we're finding. Who is playing basketball? Who was hanging out in the Supreme Court?
I imagine all of the justices, when they're trying to make a really hard decision but need a break, they're like, oh, let's go play some b-ball.
Yeah. I mean, I love this idea. This is wonderful. The highest court in the land.
Bethany, where can I follow you on social media?
At my home. No, follow me at my home. We've learned this lesson the hard way. You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Bethany, on Instagram at Miss Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen? Where can people follow you?
At Miss Bethany. Nope. I'm sorry. We just got a calendar update that was, and it threw me off. I'm chaos. At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can also follow our show on Facebook and Acquired Taste Podcast, and also just keep an eye out for that.
I said Facebook.
I got distracted. Did you say Instagram?
No, do it Instagram.
An Acquired Taste Podcast.
We also have a phone number that you can text us and leave us voicemails. Our phone number is 917-994-0353. We play it at the end of every podcast. Thank you.
You can also send us snail mail at a P.O. Box. P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We have an electronic mail address. Our email is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Reach out.
Yes. Anywhere you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps push us up in the ranks. God help us all.
This podcast is edited by the fabulous Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram at lit_fog.
And the videos that you can find on our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the YouTubes, I think coming soon, are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on everything, Dennis Callow, C-A-H-L-O. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I keep doing fire breath and it's really disgusting. tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your coworkers about this podcast. Please help us spread the word.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Okay, taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies, and hi, taste buds. I am calling to share some news. So I've been a teacher for 13 years, and I just applied for a new job that is not teaching. So first of all, shout out to all the teachers out there right now during COVID, because it is freaking hard, and I am with you. But I applied for a job that is something that I would love to do, but I waited until the last second to do it because I spent the whole time thinking that I wasn't good enough and letting my imposter syndrome and everything like that get in the way. And then I was like, you know what? If I apply for this job, that doesn't mean that I have to take the job. That doesn't even mean that I'm going to get an interview. What does it hurt for me to send out some documents and some information to somebody? And to me, that's a really big deal. Might not seem like a really big deal to some people, but that was super scary for me. So just calling to say to all the buds, if you are seeing another job or wanting another job that you think you're not good enough for, send out the application. You have literally nothing to lose. And just taking that step felt really, really good. And I'm really proud of myself for that. So go for it. You deserve it. You are worth it. And you are a lot braver. And you have a lot more power in you than you think. Have a good day.
Hello, ladies. This is Taste Bud Carolyn from New Jersey. I have a Nicolas Cage alert. there is a new Netflix show called The History of Swearing, and it is hosted by none other than Nicolas Cage himself. It is so funny, and I thought of Bethany the whole first episode that I watched. He hosts every single episode. It is highly recommended. Please go watch, and please enjoy. Have a great day.
Hi, guys. This is Alex from Pennsylvania. I just had to call and say that I posted when I was comfortable about my pregnancy announcement after my miscarriage, and you guys seemed so excited for me, and that just made me so happy. And I am officially 20 weeks now, and I got to go see my little peanut this morning for my anatomy scan, and they said even though it's on the bigger side, everything's looking good, but I had to tell you guys that I am doing well and that this baby's doing well, and I am just absolutely overjoyed, and I'm so happy that I have the taste buds to ask questions about and just go through this with, and I just want to call and share. Thank you, guys.
Hi, Cassie and Bethany and everyone. It's Caitlin. Have a happy new year. I will say that a big thanks to this podcast. You guys have all got me through this year. And I say this very seriously and very truly, because without that Facebook group, I would have been selfish. I would have been alone on weekends and a little shy to talk to people. But because of this Facebook group, I've met through people through Zoom. I went to Arizona to meet people. I was able to have a little birthday countdown with people. I have been able to celebrate accolades and everything for others. And I feel truly a part of something bigger. And this is a really amazing community to be a part of. And it's, again, all thanks to you, Bethany and Kathleen. And thank you so much for everything and your support and your love and your humor and your wittiness. Happy New Year's. And I will see you on the other side of all of this. Love you. Bye.
Hello, ladies. I'm excited. Because I'm listening to the Thanksgiving episode, and I had to stop and call because Kathleen just got a Woolrich coat for $30 on Poshmark and is now sharing the virtues of checking the wool content and the fabric content of clothing you buy. Ladies, nobody has ever heard of Woolrich. That's how I feel anyway, and I feel that way because I had never heard of Woolrich before. I worked for them. I came to college near Woolrich, PA. I started working there. I met my best friend there. Shout out to Nicole and Nikki B for real in Texas, who's wonderful. I parlayed my part-time retail job into full-time help at our photo studio. Now I do digital marketing. But I was just so excited to hear Woolrich. This is the most exciting thing I've heard, all week.
Hi, ladies. This is Laurel. This is my first time calling into the podcast, and I had to stop the Thanksgiving podcast right after your dietitian, I can't remember her name now, she gave the suggestion for the oats and chia and peanut butter for a breakfast, and I thought, you know, I'm a very picky eater. It's really hard for me to eat in the morning sometimes because I'm anxious and I don't have an appetite in the morning. But I decided to try it, and I did the oats, the almond milk, chia seeds, peanut butter, and some cinnamon. And oh my God, it is so good. This is going to be my new breakfast staple forever. So I just want to say thank you so much for having her on and letting her share some of her wisdom. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Hello, my beautiful buds. This is Taste Bud Tia from Idaho. I'm just calling in to tell you that I actually started crying the other day when I was talking to somebody about the group that we have. It's a beautiful space that I feel comfortable in, that I don't have to worry about, people lashing out, talking disrespectful, anything like that. So I actually started crying when I was talking about it, just because it's a beautiful space to have. The other thing I wanted to say was that I know everyone has New Year's resolutions and trying to look for positivity nowadays. I wanted to say two things. My friend, when she lost weight, she actually said, I don't lose weight. I got rid of weight. Because when you lose something, that has the intention of finding it again. So I love that positive spin on getting rid of weight. And then a second, I had a friend who just recently got divorced, and they posted out to all their friends saying that their first marriage was fulfilled. So again, a positive spin on something that is obviously difficult to go through, but instead of, you know, doing the negative on it, it's their first marriage was fulfilled.
Happy birthday, Bethany. I'm sorry this is a little late. I love listening to you and Kathleen. You guys always make my day so much better. This is Emma, by the way. Sorry I pressed say that. One thing I do want to mention is I was listening to your guys' episode where you guys were talking about how you guys like to play with things. Kinetic Sand has changed my life. It is absolutely amazing. It's so quiet. It doesn't make a mess. And it is so relaxing and calming and soothing, and I highly recommend it.
Hi, this is Case Bud Hannah. I'm playing catch up with so many episodes, and I love it. I'm like binging. So anyway, Clue, all time, top five, one of my favorite movies. Mrs. White is amazing. It's the best. But I also love About Time with Rachel McAdams because, hello, I mean, it's super adorable, blah, blah, blah. And then also I watched Bethany's Lonely Hearts, and oh my gosh, it was so great. Like, you're this adorable psycho, and I love it. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great day, and bye.